This one we could have done at Super Bowl I, you know, but everything comes to him who waits.
You want to make a record with my client, Diet Pepsi?
He's fresh, he's new, the ladies love him. I gotta have him signed to the label.
It sounds good, but we have to have mutual creative control.
We got a deal.
You know you want it. You know you love it. You know you want it. You're gonna get it. You're gonna have one. And then another.
Nice. Nice.
Says here, Walmart urged to stock the day after pill. A coalition of women's groups and family planning organizations on Friday urged Walmart to change its policy and start stocking emergency contraceptive pills in its pharmacies. These are morning after pills, and they think Walmart's actions are clearly an outrageous intrusion into the health and privacy of all U.S. women. When a doctor prescribes emergency contraception for a woman, Walmart does not have the right to overrule that decision. I think that's a commercial that should have been on the Super Bowl. What do you think? 866-313-3733. We'll advertise Cialis. We'll advertise Viagra. Hey, I'm Tyrannosaurus Roth. I'm like a Niagara of Viagra. And then we can advertise the morning after pill. Plus, you can advertise the alcoholic beverage that precursed the need for both of it, right? You could call it the before, during, and after. Kind of a cocktail, right? A little Red Bull, a little Budweiser, some morning after pill. I'm going to throw in some Trojan condoms here. For the money you could win winning the Super Bowl. That sounds like a weekend to me. Animal, what about you? You think that's a weekend?
I sure do, man. I think that's a great weekend, man. Let's get it rolling, man. Can I get 20%?
Do you have any problem with people advertising morning after pills for women on the Super Bowl?
I have no problem with it whatsoever. You know, they fought for women libs, so hey, let's do it.
Is he distorting? Is his microphone distorting? It's really fizzling in my head here. Maybe it's just that I need a morning after pill.
Oh, yeah.
There's the morning after. I can hear a lot of little pointy little ears waking up.
I got
up.
One. Did you see that commercial about the FedEx? It was like a pterodactyl. Did you see that one? The pterodactyl, they put like a carriage package into his feet. Then all of a sudden, Tyrannosaurus Roth just jumped up and snatched him out of the air.
Boom. Call
did
me
you see
D-Row.
That one? D-Row. Now, that was my favorite commercial of all right there, man.
No, D-Row was actually busy shooting Busta Rhymes' bodyguard elsewhere.
Man.
No, what you're talking about, I thought was another crummy commercial.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, here the guy is, okay, he's supposed to deliver a stick.
I thought it was a bone.
Yeah, a bone, whatever. And he doesn't deliver the bone, and the guy says, you should have used FedEx. And he goes, well, it hasn't been invented yet. I'm sorry, that's a D+ at best. C- at best. Again, you know, you're trying to...
I just like the artwork, you know.
Okay, great. But anytime you review a movie based on the lighting or the costumes, there's a problem. You're hiding from something. 866-313-3733. Tell me, should... I think it's okay if you have Viagra ads. I think it's okay to have Cialis ads, to have Budweiser ads or whatever, because this is primarily a macho encounter. Okay? I think in terms of football, it's two teams of the biggest possible dudes in the tri-state area literally slamming into each other. It's major, major contact there. Okay? In that context, I don't see anything wrong with selling dude stuff. And in fact, I'm going to extend it to say, sell girl stuff, too. Take it to the extreme. Do you agree or disagree? 866-313-3733. Pick the one that looks the best to you up there, Hutch. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight.
Mikey.
Go ahead, man. You're
Mikey.
On. What's up, Mikey?
How you doing, Dave? Listen, I'd like to thank you for your topics. They got, once again, they get me worked up into a frenzy.
Okay.
You got these freaks with, I don't know, Dave. I'm only 42, all right?
Yep.
And I watch football all my life. I don't watch it anymore because it turned into a freak show.
What do you mean a freak show?
A freak show, look, man, you know what? These guys should be, reprimanded for the way they look. I'm a musician. I got long hair. It doesn't belong in the NFL.
Why doesn't it belong in the NFL?
Because it doesn't, man. These guys should set standards for these kids today. They have no role models. These kids, you know, I don't think long hair is appropriate in the NFL.
Okay, but
or
I don't...
any sport, for that matter.
I don't see that there's anybody in those particular teams that I was witnessing yesterday who have any kind of background of larceny. There's one kid who likes to trash talk a tiny little bit. Okay, 2 degrees of Muhammad Ali, 1970, and everybody gets up in arms. But beyond that, virtually everybody there seems like a father, a husband, a sportsman, a boy scout who grew up into something disciplined. Everybody there seems like they come from families. I don't see a whole lot of bad guy biker types in there. What guys are you reflecting on?
Talking about that guy that looks like he should be spitting blood. He looks like he got a haircut like Gene Simmons. The kid from Pittsburgh, man.
Okay, but
come
that...
on. Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't look right hanging out of a helmet like that. It just doesn't. I grew up different, man.
And I grew up traveling my whole adult life through places like Pittsburgh. I can take you right to Primanti's Sandwich blindfolded, right from the hotel. I can find my way from the 7th floor around the four corners and right down to the front door. So I do know that there are a lot of people who look like that guy. Consequently, I can see why management would let him carry on with that. I think that football runs probably the way the Marine Corps these days does. There's a similarity between everybody, and yet you still prize the characters. The ones with the ambition. The ones with the craziest passions. The ones with the most skills. Or even the one with the least skills, but has the most ambition. Those are always my favorites. What about you?
I don't agree, man. These guys, yeah, they should all look similar, right? They should keep their hair short.
Okay, and if you do that, then are you in agreement that we should, I don't know, how do you call this? Should we take on the commercials and make that more family-oriented and a little more palatable for the family as well?
During a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, during any sports thing, yeah. I believe we should.
Okay, during any professional sports element, and that includes hockey and soccer and everything?
I think it should be more respectable. They don't need to sell condoms during halftime, bro.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm giving you the spotlight. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. He makes an argument. He makes an idea that probably works if parents don't really want to deal with these kinds of subjects, whatever. Go ahead. Give me the next one here, Hutch. 866-313-3733.
Greg.
Get it up, Greg. You're on.
Hey, Dave, love the show. I was just calling to say, like, this is the first time in 2 years I got to watch a Super Bowl. I was deployed to Iraq.
Okay.
So my span in Iraq was like 15 months, and it kind of covered both Super Bowls, 2004, 2005.
Okay.
So this one, you know, I'm all pumped up to watch this game, and it sucked all around. I mean, the game, the halftime show, the commercials, it was all terrible.
Which was the most terrible part of it? If you had to figure, which one affected you the most?
I would say the commercials. Usually, you know, you're thinking you're having a good time. You watch some funny commercials or at least something. You know, it was, I mean.
So you were looking for something that had a little more teeth to it, something that was a little more representative of what was going on down on the field?
Just a little bit more macho or something. I mean, it seems like they're trying to feminize everything in America. I mean, we don't put our masculine commercials in the daytime soap opera, you know, time slot. So, like, why do they got to put their Dove commercials in the Super Bowl? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And I think it's a little bit out of context here. I'm wondering how many women really appreciated those commercials, because don't you sign up for the Super Bowl, whether it's in front of your flat screen or an actual ticket to the game? Don't you sign up for that because of the glory of the encounter? Again, I call it war without the death. It is combative. It is strategic. It's tactical. And in that respect, I don't know that, you know, moving towards something that is a little more Valentine's or a little more Christmas or a little more holiday-oriented isn't out of context. I may be wrong. You say that it is, right?
I think you're absolutely right.
Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. I'm still wondering if anybody else accepts that you could stock the morning after pill commercials. I mean, that's women's stuff. That's exclusively the domain of women, is it not? In terms of, what is it, the RU-82 or whatever, the morning after pill. And if you're going to complain about, well, it's too macho to have Viagra and Cialis and Budweiser and everything, well, those are the things that cause the need for a morning after pill. So let's just complete the story. Hey, come one, come all. 866-313-3733. Hit up the next one, Hutch. Roth Matthew. Radio. You're in. Matthew.
Good morning, Mr. Diamond. How are you?
Great. What are you thinking about today?
Matthew, the one-legged former tempo instructor from West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, my last full-time job, I used to train. It started out with 24 guys off a little island off of San Diego. So I'm still up early. So I take naps during the day.
Okay.
Last night, I was taking like 3 to 5 minute naps when the game wasn't on. That's how boring it was.
Okay, you know, I made it halfway through the Rolling Stones, which was like ultra-familiar turf, as much as I'm a Stones fan. I found the entire element just ultra-predictable from the very beginning to the very middle. It was more like a high school graduation exercise, I felt. Do you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. You know what I miss? I miss the frogs and the lizards, you know, Bud.
Yeah, I like that. I call it a Larsenous sense of humor.
And as far as the halftime show, you know who I'd like to see?
Who?
Sammy and Dave.
Well, I think, you know what? We've been offered as Van Halen, you know, the brothers and I, to actually do the thing, and it's not an issue for me.
You know that's not going to work. I know that's not going to work. But even you alone, I would love to see you up there in your spandex. Your toes over the top of your head.
My best tactical spandex. You know, we're on heightened alert. Knock it off, Sasha, you slut. 866-313-3733. Thanks for giving a call. What were the Budweiser frogs? I remember that vaguely. What was that commercial?
Grab it, bud. Grab it, bud. Bud.
So what we do that well, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, you all know the words. But So what's the idea? That they're farting?
No, they're just sitting there saying bud.
So there's really nothing... There's nothing negative about it, so why would they get rid of that?
Oh, it just got old. It's like, that's years ago.
Reptiles, amphibians, they don't apply to girls? Possible. 866-313-3733. Evo, he thinks the Stones are lame. Roth Radio, how lame were they, Evo? Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you, Dave?
Good, Ben. What's up?
I thought it would be a little more exciting. They look like they belonged in walkers and wheelchairs.
Oh, well, I don't know if they look like they belonged in walkers and wheelchairs. It's just there's a point, though, where you're running that far that the voice starts to sink a little bit. And then I watched Axl Rose do the exact same thing on MTV when he did his supposed comeback 3 years ago or whatever it is. Running to the 50-yard line and back while you sing your favorite songs at the top of your little lungs, whew, that's a major exercise. I'm wondering...
Don't get me wrong. I mean, they sounded great, but... I expected something a little more exciting, like put you up there with Van Halen or with your old band, you know, with Billy Sheehan, Steve Vai, and all those.
You know what?
That would have been exciting.
Well, even beyond rock and roll, if you've seen the BET Classic or anything like in the movie Drumline, if you've seen what they're doing now, even with marching bands, it's off the hook. It's mind-roasting. It has nothing to do with John Philip Sousa or anything when I was dragging a saxophone around in a little green uniform back in the 60s. I was in the marching band. I played saxophone and stuff. No, it's way, way cool, way sexy, way modern stuff. And the cheerleaders alone will drop your IQ 14 points. Where were they? That element alone could really, you know, lift the spirits. If you get away from all the meaningfulness and all of the, okay, family, great. The family's already there. We're already sitting in front of the screen. And in terms of the spirituality, okay, well, that'll come when somebody finally wins and we all get to look back in time and look and say how hard we worked, etc. For now, I like to think of it as get ready to rumble. All right, I'm back. 866-313-3733. He wants to talk about the Streaker Bud ad. Barry, you're on Roth Radio. You're in the spotlight, Barry. Hit it. Go ahead, brother.
Zero, long time, long talk.
Que pasa? What's up? He's fizzling. I'm sorry, friend. Your phone is fizzling up there. Now, okay. How about now?
He's gone.
Is he gone?
Yeah.
Talk about the P. Diddy commercial up on the top there. Troy wants to talk about that. Roth Radio, you're in. Hit it, Troy.
Hey, Dave.
What's
great
up?
I had a discussion with a friend of mine yesterday while I was watching the game. That P. Diddy commercial with the
Diet Pepsi. He made it into a big rap star and all this other stuff. Did you see that one?
I believe so. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well. You know, my friend's a white guy, and I'm half black, half Irish. And his whole comment to the whole commercial was, "Oh, if I was a black guy, I'd be offended." You know, because it was like lyrics were brown and bubbly. He totally made it into a racial thing. I don't know. I was curious to know what you guys thought. Was he just crazy to think that way, or I don't know. Are people just hypersensitive to that kind of thing nowadays?
I think people are ultra hypersensitive. People wear their feelings on their sleeves, okay? And everybody talks about being sensitive to each other, etc. I can't think of a place to be least sensitive than a knock 'em out, dust 'em up kind of a game like in the Super Bowl, okay? As far as what P. Diddy was doing, he wasn't making a racial comment. He was making a sexist comment. He was making a misogynist comment, a chauvinist comment. He was talking about the soda pop like it was a girl. She's young. She's fresh. And watch me rip her top open. Well, that isn't exactly what he said, but it's what I would say. So I don't see anything wrong with that as long as you contrast it. As long as the girls are having their numbers worth, however that is, I can think of all kinds of hilarious commercials about the morning after pill. What about you?
You're definitely right. It does fit the context, but I don't know. It's ever since Janet, you know, things are just... You just know it's not going to go that way.
I don't think it was Janet, and I don't think it's any one person behind the scenes for the television set. I don't think it's the suits. I think it's our community, man. I'm not gonna point at the headmaster. I'm not gonna point at the principal or the president. I think it's us. I think it's everybody who's listening here. And in terms of, do we either tolerate this or do we start talking about it real loud? Because whenever somebody does. Well, you know, we start to reach for the Dr. Seuss.
Dave, I am, I said. I am, I am, I am. Oh.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Sie haben sich direkt zu David Lee Roth dazugeschaltet. Wie wäre es mit etwas Feuer, Vogelscheuche?
Be young in the back there, play it, bro. Hit that guitar, go ahead. Coming up on Roth Radio, me, David Lee Roth here, and I'm going to have a very special guest, Russell Simmons, calling in right around 7:30 here. So, you know who Russell is, responsible for HBO's Def Comedy Jam. You know, those guys who brought in Martin Lawrence and Jamie Foxx, responsible for Fat Farm and Baby Fat Clothing. And, he's the guy from Houdini, Curtis Blow, Run DMC, and he's got the LL Cool J, the Beastie Boys. Today, he's the guy with Jay-Z, DMX, and Method Man. I guess he's going to be calling in a little bit here. 866-313-3733. We're going to finish up, a little bit on the Super Bowl here. Did anybody else have another reflection I'm not aware of? Anything? Oh, the morning after pill. Let's see if they're acceptable of having that come up on there. Brian, you're on. Go ahead, Brian. What do you think? Should we have morning after pill ads along with the Viagra? Get the whole thing accomplished in one fell swoop?
I don't see any problem with that. I don't think it's too feminine or anything because, even Budweiser, you saw Budweiser sort of advertised to a more sensitive, feminine crowd with that the commercial with the parent horses and stuff helping out the child horse.
Yeah, you know, I don't see any personal problem with it either, but with the way our trends are going culturally, then there won't be any of that. It's going to be scraped clean, and I'm wondering, where do you teach kids about the harsh and brutal realities of life? And I don't mean punching them around. I mean, where do you actually learn this? If you're not playing dodgeball anymore, and if you practice jump roping without a rope, which a lot of schools do now because a lot of kids fail, and you don't want to peddle low self-esteem, and if you never play tackle football, football, et cetera, et cetera. Well, where is this all leading? Because you know that next around the corner is going to be a dress code that involves all of the players and everybody involved in there. You think this is a healthy thing? What do you think?
With, like, a dress code and stuff? No, I don't think so at all. I think the guy with the long hair, I appreciate it.
No, I don't think it's just the guy with the long hair. I think, you know, everybody's got an earring. Everybody's got a nose bolt. Everybody's got a cool haircut. Everybody's got a beard. Everybody's got, you know, the cool sideburns, et cetera. That's going to go the way of all flesh, just the way it has now, starting with basketball. And do you agree that's an okay thing? Are you going to miss it?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I like the players to have their character.
I think so, too. It's, you know, it's those individuals who stand out the most. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Don't forget, Russell Simmons is going to be calling in just a little bit here. Somebody's mad at the beer ads here. Steve, are you mad that they're gone? Or are you mad that there weren't enough? Go ahead.
Well, no, Dave. See, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And, you know, I mean, really, it's a matter of time before a bunch of people get together and sue them over this.
Sue them over what?
Putting their beer ads on TV. They removed cigarette ads from television way back when they did that because they just did, there wasn't any money to keep it there.
Okay, so you're saying somebody's going to file a lawsuit and then alcohol will be driven out because of somebody's incapacity to deal with teaching their kids about that or their own incapacity to actually drink alcohol?
Well, let's take me, for example. I got 6 trips to prison behind alcohol.
Okay, and what caused the alcoholism?
I don't know. It's just the way the alcohol affects me. You know, I get a wild hair on my butt.
Okay.
And if you look around the joint, you know, I mean, that's all it is. You know, people did stupid things drunk and drug dealers.
Okay.
That's all there is anymore.
Okay, so you're suggesting that just like tobacco, we get rid of alcohol ads?
Well, sure, they're making it look all appealing, but they don't show the downside of it. They don't show the people in rehab getting sick from the DTs.
Okay, now I'm gonna take your side for a minute here. Should we also get rid of all the McDonald's ads because obesity kills thousands and thousands of people a year as well? Are you in agreement that we should get rid of those?
People need to eat. No. No.
Oh, no. So the food is okay because a lot more people are killed from obesity, heart problems, and pancreatic diabetic shock than any amount of alcohol doubled. What's happening in the world today is mostly based around food, but the problems that alcohol causes are very small compared to this. But you say that the food ads are okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's food. You know, what are you going to do with food? You can't get rid of that.
Okay, now what about these off-road vehicles, the three-wheelers and the four-wheelers, like the one that almost killed Ozzy Osbourne, which I'm not saying was a bad thing, but I am saying that these are archly...
I'm getting your point, Dave. You know, you take some risks, you know, you pay some money, you take some chances. You get on ATV, you can break your neck. You get drunk, you can end up in the joint or an alcoholic.
Okay, so what do you think? Whose responsibility is it to deal with these things? I'm not going to make fun of you. Share with me, who do you think there's a responsibility to deal with these things, or should we just ban these kinds of ads because it's an awful environment?
It's hard. I mean, in that respect, on where do you draw the line, it's a hard one to call. You know, the television's too controlled by, you know, Congress and everything else. They refuse to let certain things go. You know, people have been trying to put ads on television fighting to legalize medical marijuana.
Hold on one second. Okay, we're talking about a lot of substances here. How about little Janet Jackson's Even Littler Boob? Did you have a problem with that showing on television?
Not really. I could see it in National Geographic. You know, I mean, it's just a boob. I've seen a billion of them.
Well, the National Geographic was the first place.
You can't look at a beer can.
Exactly. You know, that you're drawing lines here. Some people would say that teaching people that sex and that kind of behavior is more dangerous than having beer ads in front of you.
Well, you know what point you make? It's all about self-preservation.
I think so. I think it's up to the individual.
It's what's important to the individual. You're right about that. Because to me, when I see a beer ad, it makes it all appealing. I want to start drinking again. But I got to remind myself. I'll wake up in a jail cell tomorrow.
Okay, well, you have a very realistic view of the world around you. I'm wondering how many parents are actually sharing this kind of information with their kids, or they're just hoping we don't put that information, that kind of stimuli, on the TV set, and nobody has to explain anything, and the kids will just graduate high school, and you'll never have to hear about it again, at least till their first arraignment. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Do we have Russell? Is he spun up yet? Okay, we got Russell Simmons coming up in a little bit here on the phone. You know, I got another question here, just in terms of, you know, what's going on with, you know, television, etc. We brought up earlier, I forget, I think it was Donna or whatever had brought up, you know, well, she didn't want her kids to see, you know, the ads on television. You don't want to deal with the sexy stuff. She didn't want to deal with the alcohol stuff. She had no problem dealing with Dr. Seuss, etc. And I brought up, well, how do you explain the violence that's going on down on the field there? Because for a lot of guys, that's life or death, literally, virtually. Some, you know, some people got carted off in a neck brace or whatever last night. And I remember watching Jack Tatum, who was famous for clotheslining people. That's an elbow to the jaw, and evidently somebody wound up a quadriplegic because of that that action. I mean, whether it was warranted or not, that's what happens down on the football field. This is where you learn about real life. Where else are those kids going to learn about it? From mom and dad reading from a book? I don't think so. You're going to see it on the TV set, and then somebody has to explain to you what it is you're seeing. I don't think parents really want to explain what they're seeing. They make it seem like it's fun and games. If you don't explain, why are they dragging that guy on a stretcher off the field? Well, honey, he's tired. Well, how come that guy's career just ended? Well, honey, he was really tired. Well, how come that guy is now being sued by the other guy? I said, well, honey, they're just arguing with each other. And then what happens is you create an audience of people who grow up thinking football is all Dr. Seuss and flowers and gummy bears and lilacs, and it's just all good, clean fun. That's your most primary lesson in life. That's what you're going to teach somebody? Life is all gummy bears, lilacs. When you fart, it smells like gummy bears. And we all agree to be sensitive with each other. And, you know, and no matter what the ref says, we're all going to be kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Well, that kid is certainly well-armed for real life. Animal, what do you think?
Well, nowadays, you know, it's like, I don't think I could ever play football with the rules and stuff, because like me, I was a defensive player, and I'm down in the trenches fighting to get to the quarterback. That's what we feed on. We want to get our hands on the quarterback before we can react to do anything. And then when I catch him, I just got to tag him. I don't think so. The adrenaline rush just to get your hands on him and smash him. Hey, that's what it was all about when I played, man. So now I would get a penalty almost probably every play if I played.
Yeah, and if you had a necktie and a crew cut and you were sitting on an episode of The Apprentice, and you spoke that with a Harvard accent, Don Trump would go, I like the way you think. You have potential in the corporate world that is dog eat dog. Animule or animal? How do you pronounce that?
Animal.
Oh, I'm not kidding.
No.
Given a different context, that kind of thing is clarified as a warrior spirit or a determined spirit. And if you get a girl like Sasha talking like that, they go, oh, well, there's the next congresswoman for New York. There's the next mayor. There's the first woman president. Whatever. I don't know that I disagree. 866-313-3733. Don't go away. FOMO of me.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Sie haben sich direkt zu David Lee Roth dazu geschaltet. Wie wäre es mit etwas Feuer, Vogelscheuche?
Spin up that guitar, baby. Shots fired. One dead at Busta Rhymes video shoot. Gunfire erupted on the set of a Busta Rhymes video shoot early this morning at the Greenpoint section of Brooklyn. Hey, I've worked around there. Leaving one man dead on the sidewalk. The bodyguard took it this time. Looks like there were over 200 people on the scene. There were all kinds of faces there. It looks like Mary J. Blige. I'm just kind of going between the newspapers here. Mary J. Blige, DMX, Missy Elliott, 50 Cent were all in attendance, if I'm not mistaken here. This is not the first time that somebody's taken a shot at Busta or something. You know anything about this animal? Are you familiar with this set here, this crew?
Well, yeah, I know a few of them and stuff. It was like the bodyguard. He was like the one that was handling Busta's jury or something like that. And then was a confrontation. And then they said it was with one of 50 Cent boys. That's what I heard from my people in L.A.
Okay.
I don't know how true it was.
Well, this is the kind of, that's how rumors and stuff get started. But it's always kind of the same faces involved, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm going to wonder if, like what Chris Rock said, Martin Luther King Jr. got assassinated. Tupac got shot. I'm wondering if this was an assassination that was, you know, a legit crime, or if this is some kind of inner battle. Is this a in between two crews? Is Busta involved in some kind of East West sort of thing, Animal? Do you know?
I don't think so. He kind of kept a low profile after, you know, he became really known out there. But in the beginning, you know, we always thugs and stuff. But, you know, he kind of mellowed out. I couldn't. Have no idea what could have sparked it off, you know?
This is interesting stuff, and I'm wondering, because we're talking about censorship here. We started off talking about the Super Bowl and the censorship of all the commercials and everything that are taking place here, and here's an extreme example of should there or should there not be censorship, okay? This perfectly dovetails together here. You like the way I did that?
Yeah.
No, seriously. If you are so sensitive to issues about truckers saying, well, a truck was chasing a Red Bull truck down the road, got to take that commercial off. Okay. Well, we don't want any sexual content. Okay. So we're going to get rid of Viagra, Cialis, and the morning after pill. Okay. We're not going to sell that. And we're going to simplify literally to Dr. Seuss. Isn't that what Indiana Jones was doing? He was doing Dr. Seuss. If that's acceptable, and if that's the way our culture wants to have it for the Super Bowl, does that extend now to music? Because look what potentially this kind of music engenders. Or does this not have any bearing at all? Is the music cool? Lyrics are all cool? It's just like going to a Bruckheimer movie. It doesn't engender violence at all. It's just something that occurs between two people, perhaps two people of a community or two people who are fighting over business or whatever. You think there's a connection between what's happening in hip-hop video and hip-hop lyrics and, you know, the general hip-hop lifestyle and this kind of violence? Or is this an isolated incident? Sash, you're 21 years old. You're white. You're from Jersey. What do you think?
Like you said, the hip-hop lifestyle, and Animal said, they start out as all thugs, and I guess it is a lifestyle, and the music does definitely promote violence. I mean, when 50 Cent sings, there's gunshots in the background of his music.
Does this music make you feel violent?
It does not make me feel violent.
What does it make you feel?
If it's a good beat and a good song, it makes me feel like it's good music.
Oh, come on, that's a lawyer
it's
answer.
It's not, no, it's very true, because I was raised...
You were raised to it, absolutely. This is your generation. Yeah. You have a steady diet from infancy of MTV, MTV2, BET, and all the other good channels, right?
Yeah.
When you hear some heavy-duty beat, something aggressive, what do you feel? You feel just happy? You feel sexy? Do you feel
good?
You feel energy of it?
I do.
Dave, I think it reflects on the individual. Like, if you're a violent person, it'll make you feel violent, just like that beer made that guy feel like drinking. Everyone's different. You know?
Well, there are some people who claim that the Twinkie caused their sugar index to skyrocket, and that's why they shot six people.
So there'll always be one of them around.
There's always going to be some excuse. I don't know that music is an excuse, just like a commercial. I don't think a commercial is an excuse to go, see what it caused. Look at my children's behavior now. You shouldn't have showed that shaving commercial. There were too many girls in underwear. Now look at him. He's a sex fiend. You can't. I don't believe in that. And I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence here. I want to hear what everybody else says. Go ahead and put the first caller on there, Hutch. Mike, you're on Roth Radio.
Hey, whatever happened to the Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five? These new guys are not but gun promoting, gang producing thieves and smugs, and they should be thrown off the place of the air.
Well, wait. You referred to something that in the past, the Sugar Hill Gang and that element of rap that you're talking about, probably late 70s or whatever, that was all sex. That was all chauvinist. That was all misogynist. That was all arguably anti-woman, all bitches and hoes and whatnot, and it was completely about Meet Little Elvis, you know, and so you find that's acceptable, but the violent element is not, correct?
I think you're going a little extreme on that. I mean, I don't know if they're all about that, but these new guys, come on, that's all you hear, shooting them up, and you know, their songs, and they're making the young black kids turn into these kinds, and they look up to these guys. It's wrong, Dave.
Okay.
Wrong.
I'm still not going to take a side just yet. What about the movies that we go see? What about in terms of all of my favorite Jerry Bruckheimer shoot 'em ups, whether it's African-American or not? What about all my favorite cowboy movies and my favorite gangster movies like Carlito's Way or The Godfather or Goodfellas or Casino?
They've been around for ages.
They've been around for ages, but I didn't turn out a killer. I'd like to think so, but I'm not.
But the 17 and older is kind of regulated a little bit more than you turn on the radio, you know?
Okay, and what about video? You think that the videos are unacceptable as well?
Videos for what?
Videos for rap and hip-hop, because, you know, you have a whole lot of gangbanging posing that's going on there as well. Even though there may not be an actual firearm in the video, because MTV, for example, does not allow that, it's clear to me that somebody is strapped. And from the way everybody walks with that, you know, that is the insinuation. Do you think the videos...
rock and roll, baby!
So you think the videos are okay?
No, I don't. I don't think that's okay either. But you know, I'm just not into it. Either playing the devil, not into these guys, what they do and what they promote. And can we sign off for Running with the Devil today?
I'll make every effort possible. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. I guess we are running with the devil. Go ahead.
For every guy that sees a video and gets violent, there's thousands of people who saw the same video that don't get violent.
Yeah, and see, I'm gonna swing either way on this, okay? Because when I first saw James Bond, I instantly started smoking Rothman's king-size cigarettes, the blue and white pack, and I made sure that my parents made a trip to the toy store so that I could have that Walther PPK pistol with the silencer. And in an imaginary way, I killed a lot of people before I was even 12 years old. Oh, yeah, I killed every bad guy. I killed every bad guy's henchman. I killed everybody I found in their gangland stronghold. I killed every Korean, every Japanese in World War II. I stormed the sands of Iwo Jima, and I was completely encouraged by watching those videos. Well, it wasn't videos.
You were killing the bad guys.
That was killing the bad guys, okay? Now I'm an EMT. It's like the old Polynesian saying that when I was a young man, I used to hunt the shark. Now I protect you. 866-313-3733. I've never actually killed anybody. But in the imaginary sense, hey, you walk away from watching The Magnificent Seven. I always wanted to be the guy, you know, McQueen, the one with the knife fighter. I look kind of like a knife fighter, don't you think? Look at my eyes. Look at my eyes, Sasha. Make your eyes like a knife fighter. Ooh.
That was James Coburn. Anyway.
No, that's Sasha. 866-313-3733. John, you're on Roth Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think the problem is commercials and music videos. I think the problem is lack of responsibility on the part of adults, both controlling their own behavior and teaching good values to their children. I killed a lot of imaginary people when I was a kid, and I never killed anybody. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I don't care if there's beer ads or cigarette ads on TV because I just don't pay any attention to them.
I agree with you. I think that there's got to be a shut-off switch. You got to learn to have blinders, and at whatever reaches out to you. I have a completely addictive personality. Anything worth doing is worth way overdoing. And I've had to learn that switch. And it doesn't matter to me if it's ice cream from Ben and Jerry's or if it's two strippers in a toaster oven. That's an allegation. Seriously, in terms of, you know, staying up late at night and pretending I was Keith Richards or taking my life in my hands, you know, out on the high mountains or whatever. These were things that I was that reached out to me, and if I saw them in the movies, I would be encouraged. Unfortunately, too, you know, I watched a lot of people smoke cigarettes, Humphrey Bogart style. I watched a lot of people, you know, drink too much, Dean Martin, Rat Pack style on stage and what have you. But I think that if you can't legislate human behavior out of existence, so what you're saying is you're cool with any of these ads. Is that true?
Yeah, I think if you're that influenced by music, videos, or commercials, or whatever, that you've got a bigger problem than, you know, just what's on TV.
Okay, what about what Bill Cosby says? Doesn't he come out against hip-hop lyrics and rap and so forth? And he's been very defiant against this animal. What do you know about that?
Yeah, he about, I don't know, I think about 97 or something like that. You know, he was out there, you know, causing problems for a lot of rappers. Because, you know, like, I'm from, you know, I used to do security for Bone Thugs and Harmony for many years. And, like, on our video shoots and stuff, you know, it's like people come through there. I make sure that we got enough security. That was the whole problem anyway. Like, they get this fame. They do not hire enough security. You got to have security on anything you do. That's number one. You should spend all your money on security instead of drugs and alcohol. Because if you're not... got you, nobody got you back, anything can happen to you, man.
What you're saying then is the opposite of love isn't hate, the opposite of love is jealousy.
That's real.
You know, whatever it is you got going on, especially if you're just one step away from the hood.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if you get out of jail early, not everybody else left behind is glad to see you go.
You're right about that, because when you came to a Bone party, I had my guys, we searched everybody. It was guns in the house, but you can believe we had them. Nobody else had them. If you didn't want to get searched, you wasn't getting in no Bone Thugs and Harmony party, dog. That's just how it was.
Yeah, but how do you deal with something like this where there were over 200 people in attendance? You've been at video shoots like that at my house.
But see, what you got to do is you got to
feed. That's more of a party. That's a party.
What you got to do is you got to feed a couple of hoods. And then when you have a video, invite your hood. There, 41 in Weston was our hood. We invite them down. They just take the whole perimeter of the street. And any other hood show up, they would know who they was, and they would watch them or whatever. If you don't do that, it's always going to be violent. Because it's about, I don't know if you're familiar with this word, player hater. That's a big word in the rap game. It's like, hey, we don't got it. We're in the hood, so we can't have it. You can't have it either. And they'll come to your video shoot, try to start anything just to, you know, just to mess up your vibe and just mess up your day and stuff.
This is what I found curious when 50 Cent was being interviewed, and he was talking about his wristwatch. Now, here's a kid who's a multimillionaire, has a big future, is in the middle of his biggest possible everness, right? Because his life is on the biggest straight up ballistic curve that a young artist could possibly have. And he's talking about, well, if somebody comes to get my wristwatch, I'm going to have to take care of them. And this is like such petty, anti small time stuff. And I'm wondering if this kind of thinking is the way, or is he just the only one? For somebody that has helicopters and mansions and Grammys and millions of sales to worry about, he's ready to throw down over a wristwatch. I don't know if I even believe him. I mean, perhaps he's just fronting. But
oh, yeah, them watches be like something like $500,000 plus. They be for real about that. And a lot of people don't know, it's a hood in L.A. They crave on the American Music Awards and the Image Award. They go out to rob all these entertainers with all their jewelry. That's why bodyguards is important, man.
I'm going to tell a funny story about getting robbed at a gig right after this. Go ahead.
All right.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.